Hi everyone, we're live. Welcome to this week's episode of Online Events Made Simple Live. Today we're joined with the lovely Kelly Frew. Kelly, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, of course. Thanks, Rhianne. Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly Frew. I have been an events professional now for around 20 years, and it's flown by. I started off in the entertainment world and sort of moved over into events agency world, and then was lucky enough to move over into travel, so travel events and corporate travel events. So I worked for some of the biggest travel brands in the UK, like TUI UK and Ireland.
Amazing.
Thomas Cook, but whilst they were with us. I'm currently on a contract for Pinot Cruises, and I also decided to try and work in a different sector of events. I moved over to media and worked for the BBC for a couple of years. So yeah, I've got quite a good background in events, I think.
Amazing. Yes, you've covered kind of all aspects, which we like to see. And how did you get into the industry? Because I know so many people, you know, people are probably fed up with me saying this on the podcast, but people tend to just falling to events. How did it happen for you?
Yeah, I think I always knew that I'd sort of be in the events world, but like I say, I started in entertainment. I was a dancer, so
amazing.
Yeah, I started in entertainment, and that's all I ever wanted to do, was in the sort of travel industry within entertainment. And then as I worked up and became sort of a bit of a head of sort of that entertainment world, and was building the packages and recruiting the entertainers and things, I then sort of moved over into the event side more, because we were doing things like awards evenings, we were doing recruitment road shows, we were doing the actual training for all of the entertainers.
Yeah.
And there was a group of us that was doing it together, and I was the one that sort of led the sort of event side of things, because I was super organized. And I suddenly thought, do you know what? I love it. This is absolutely playing to all of my skills that I've got. So I was always in it, but not particularly purely events as such.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting. And like you said, you need to be organized. It's such a stressful industry. So it's really nice how you actually knew that you wanted to go into that kind of side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I just always I tell you what, I didn't like the idea of just sitting at a desk all day, 9 to 5, even though the realities of it is now, as an events manager, yeah, we do spend a lot of times at our desks and things as well. But yeah, I'd always had an interest in dancing, and much to my mum's despair, she was like, no, you need to go into journalism or do something very different, you know, very, very usual. But no, I was like, no, I'm going to explore the events and entertainment industry, just because it is just such made up of such fun people, and it's full of variety.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it's made up of so much. And I think we've learned this year that the whole industry has been so resilient and so strong, because, you know, so many companies, they've not had a plan B. Like travel, for example, you either travel or you don't. Luckily, we've, you know, managed to go to virtual, and fingers crossed, so far everything's been pretty plain sailing.
Yeah, I mean, I've probably come from, you know, I'm in events and travel at the moment, especially the role that I've been doing for the past sort of year. And if I think about that, in both of those areas, they've both been decimated in every shape that we've understood it before COVID. So if I look at my precious travel industry at the moment, it's not a good news story, but they're still sat there waiting, and we're still waiting to be able to open up and to travel again in some form. So that is a really devastating story, really. I think events have done an amazing job. The events industry has done an absolutely amazing job of pivoting and looking at new ways to market themselves, and different businesses have done very well. But it's very, very difficult for the travel industry to do that.
Yeah, it's been so tough. And fingers crossed, we're kind of at the back end of it now, but we just don't know what to expect. And I know you said you've kind of covered all bases. Who are Storymaker Events?
Yeah, sure.
So I know that's another kind of branch off of your experience.
It is. So whilst I was at the BBC, I absolutely loved working for the BBC. Loved it. It was in London at the Television Centre, and we did some great stuff. But I suddenly realised that actually I wanted to go freelance, and I got to that point where I was just like, I just want to be my own boss and go freelance.
Yeah.
And I was doing some really great stuff, and I just decided, okay, well, I started to transition. I started to think, well, I'd really like is my own business, my own, you know, to use all my expertise that I've got within the events industry. Obviously, I've got a huge corporate side to my background, and I wanted to be able to support corporate clients to deliver events. So I decided I was going to set up Storymaker Events, which is a standalone events agency, more of a consultancy at the moment in terms of broadcast live events when they're allowed to be broadcast live, international events, but obviously they're all on hold at the moment. And then my background, as I talk about, is corporate events and travel and incentives. So obviously I set that up and I was ready to go. And then at the very point that I was just about ready to go, I got offered a contract for P&O Cruises, Carnival UK.
That's amazing.
To launch their brand new cruise ship Iona. And this was all pre-COVID. The timing was just before COVID. So Storymaker Events is very much there. And obviously, I think we'll come onto it soon, but I was on a sabbatical from Carnival through the summer whilst obviously everything's been paused. And I did some work for Storymaker Events, and I've done some virtual events for those for my business, and sort of trying to build my brand around my business and what we're actually going to deliver.
Exactly. And how do you manage your time? So like, you're a director, you're a founder, you do Fast Forward 15. How do you manage all of your time? Because I'm struggling to manage my time for just one role. I couldn't imagine doing multiple at the same time.
Yeah, it is tricky. It is absolutely tricky. And sometimes if you don't break it down into sort of chunks and manage your time in terms of your diary and use project management tools, then sometimes it can fall down. So I've just joined up to ClickUp, which is a really good project management tool that can help me support my time. And I do my to-do lists on there. And then I've also got a couple of interns that have joined me on the podcast that I run, so I've got tasks that run alongside those guys on there too. And then I look at what tasks I need to do myself, and I'll block out my diary to sort of make sure that I'm picking up those tasks and ticking them off as I go. I do love a tick list. I do
yeah.
But there's also something I do like ClickUp, which is digital, but there's also something great about a notebook, being able to cross it out as well.
I think that's a really good app or website for event organizers listening to look at, because it can be tough. And I think you know, sometimes you add things to your list and you know it's just never going to get done, and you push it back. So if it's visual, you know, on the screen, you can have it alongside, you know, your work, just to keep referring back to.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we all do as individuals, not just events professionals, but individuals, we'll have that task list and we'll go to the stuff that's the really simple things to do really quickly. And what I was taught as part of a leadership development course was that you should always pick that one thing that is going to bother you all day if you don't do, and start with that. Because it's probably, you always build something up in your head to be even worse or bigger than it is. And actually when you break it down and do it, it's easier. So I tend to try and start my day by just doing one of those bits that I'm not really looking forward to doing, but don't want to spend my day worrying about it. So
that's a really good point, actually. And I know I'm exactly the same. You know, on a Monday, Tuesday, I think, oh, I'll just do the easy bits, just do a bit of admin. And by Friday, I'm like, oh, I actually have all of these hard. I say hard, they're probably not even hard, I'm overthinking it, but so much to try and work through. And they're always the longer tasks as well.
Absolutely. And that's like for your personal and your business life. So for my business life, every day I'll try and tick one. We're in the leadership development course that we did, it's called squashing a frog. So I always try and squash one of those frogs really early on in the day, so they're done. And that's because everyone's got their housekeeping, admin, personal life to look at as well. So I always try and do one squashing a frog of the hat, like my house or my personal stuff. And one of the business too.
No, exactly. I think that's a really good point. And also, you're a Fast Forward 15 mentor. I've seen this so much lately on my social media. For the event organizers listening, what is Fast Forward 15 and what do you do as a mentor?
Oh, wow. So it's one of the most inspiring programs that I've been involved in. So Faith set it up around five, it's been running 5 years now. And it's basically a program where we select 15 women and we inspire them, we motivate them, and we educate them through a 12-month period. And it's grown so much. So I think last year, when I became a mentor in 2020, there was around 300 applicants for the all across the events and hospitality industry. And yes, it is a female-led thing, because Faye is a real she's got female empowerment running through her bones, and she wants to support females and make sure that they are finding their roles and their place within the events and hospitality industry.
Yeah.
So anyone can apply. If you are a female and you, you know, you're either looking to get into events or you or in hospitality, or you're already in it at whatever level. Mm. And basically you apply and then face shortlist people. And then as a mentor, I was given 5 or 6 people to sort of interview and get to know a little bit. And then I selected my mentee, who I then take on a journey to help achieve different goals and targets, both professionally and personally, through a 12-month period.
That sounds amazing.
It really is. And it's a free opportunity. So, you know, as a you are getting a mentor from the industry that is hopefully quite well matched to you. So my mentee was a she was an event manager for Virgin Atlantic. So we were both obviously event managers in the corporate world, and then both from travel too. So it was a really nice synergy. She got made redundant quite early on in the process. And I've supported her through this year to help her find a role, build her self-confidence again, and then just think about what's next for her. So her leadership. So
it's brilliant.
I cannot recommend it enough, honestly. I cannot. So, and at the moment, the applications are open for this year. So if people want to look out for Fast Forward 15 and get your application in.
Yeah, no, definitely. Event organisers, if you're listening, I definitely recommend it, because I know when I graduated from university a few years ago now, I just wish I knew this opportunity was out there, because, you know, you can learn things from books, you can learn things from lectures, but from real life people within the industry, I think it's just so worthwhile and just so much more real.
It is. And the surprising thing is, you don't just learn from like your mentor, you become a community. So Catherine talks all the time around the fact that she learns from her mentees as well. So her, because they've got a little group that they run together, they've got to put in a charity event on too. That's part of the program. So you learn from each other. I learn from the other mentors. So everyone gets that experience.
Yeah, no, I think it sounds brilliant. And I know I've spoke about community building massively at the moment, but I think during the coronavirus period, which, you know, however long this period is going to last, community building is so massive. And that's just a, you know, it's proof in the pudding. You know, you're building your community without even realizing, because, you know, you're building probably friendships out of it as well.
That's it. Yeah. And it is. It's that personal thing as well as that professional thing. So, yeah, it all helps you, because especially in the last year, we've all sort of been in it together. The 30 of us, the 15 mentors, mentees, we've gone through this journey together, and we're all probably feeling and thinking and doing the similar things. So it's been a real nice community to support each other.
Yeah. And touching on community building, I know you're also a fellow podcast host.
Yeah.
So was this COVID born? I know that it's Events for Breakfast. Is that the name? I quite like that.
And I'll tell you why, because it was bite-sized chunks for me. And I know that, you know, pre-COVID, a lot of people listen to podcasts traditionally on their commute. So I wanted it to be that sort of thing where, you know, you're on the way to work, perhaps you sat on your train or whatever, and you're listening. Whereas now, obviously in COVID, I'm a lot of my listeners are telling me they're listening while they're walking, which is great.
Yeah.
Getting out and they're walking or running or whatever. So so it's an events industry podcast, and I interview lots of different people from across the whole spectrum of the events and hospitality and entertainment industry. And I've had lots of different people come on talking about their journeys through the past sort of 12 months, sharing tips, sharing advice on different areas of events. So I'll do my own session podcast too, and I'll do my own episodes, but I'll also bring other people in, because I don't know everything within them.
Yeah. No, I think it's so important. And do you know what? We've seen a massive rise in podcasts. And I love a podcast. Like you said, if you're out walking, or even, you know, doing the food shop, and you want to just take your mind off the actual current circumstances, I think it's great. Or even if you're cooking, there's so many great ones out there. And we're definitely seeing a rise in industry podcasts alone, which I think is just brilliant, because it's free information that people can access. You know, it's brilliant.
It is. And then going back to community, is that, you know, podcast hosts are building this within the events industry, are building a lovely community at the moment as well. So we're all sort of sharing ideas with each other. We're all complimenting each other and making sure that we are, as a community, going out there and saying what a great thing a podcast is, and actually go out and listen to other people's too. Don't just listen to mine. Don't just listen to yours. Listen to them all, because they're very, very different in their own rights.
Yeah, and I've been finding that as well. I think, you know, the past year, it's been so tough for everyone, and I'm seeing so much like sharing, friendliness towards one another. And like you said, I wouldn't just recommend our podcast. I'd say, actually, this one's really great too. And I think it's so important at the moment, you know, we're not competitors. We're all working together to try and get through this.
This is it. Yeah. And it's coming back to having that voice in your ear that might be thinking and feeling exactly what you're feeling at that very moment in time. I've covered mental health. I've covered well-being and things too. So we've really gone deep actually into it. And hopefully just even if one person turns around and says, you know, I got something from that episode, then I'm really happy.
Yeah. It's just that, you know, it makes it feel worthwhile, doesn't it? 20 minutes or even 30 minutes, you know, they don't have to be long. It's so nice knowing you're helping someone out there, because I feel exactly the same.
Yeah, when you get that email through or someone just DMs you on Instagram and says, I've really enjoyed that podcast, it literally lifts my day. It's like, brilliant. I don't, you know, all that editing time or whatever else, and you just that one person loved it. I'm happy.
Yeah, I know. And look, you've got a massive range in the events background. How have you found the pivot to virtual events? Because I know virtual's like the hot topic, the buzzword of the past year. How have you found it yourself? Because I think it's a kind of 50-50 split, but people are now kind of seeing the benefits of virtual and being able to just stay at home in your pajamas to attend an event.
This is it. Yeah. So I'll be honest, obviously, when in sort of March time last year, I was really looking forward to the summer of launching a cruise ship. So and having the really, we were doing the festival at sea with some really big talent involved as well. So for me, when COVID hit and cruise ships were hit, you know, when we were looking at the COVID countries, cruise ships was on there too. So as in like how many deaths and how it was being impacted. So, you know, we were hit first. And
it was really big, wasn't it? I remember.
And so we just, you know, for cruise companies to stop sailing across the world, nobody has ever seen this before. So there was quite a lot of shock around that. And it was a case of, okay, from me, my mindset was like, how on earth are we ever going to do events in this, you know, in this world as it is right now, because I was looking at big cruise ships and big scale events.
Yeah.
I was then putting on a sabbatical for the summer, and I did obviously focus on my business, so Storymaker Events, and I had corporate clients coming to me going, well, we still want to engage with people, we still want to engage with our customers, or get our brand out there, get our messages out there, how can we do it? So
it's a really big thing, because I think a lot of people just thought, oh, you know, we'll just put it off until live events are back. And then the months went by, and you know, if you've gone months without speaking to your audience or your potential customers, they're going to go like leave you for someone else, I think. And that's something we found.
Absolutely. And everyone was seen as a short term thing. Everyone was going, look, let's just get through the summer holidays, and then September will come and we'll be back to live. And then it was a case of, oh, actually, no, post Christmas, we'll get back to live. And
I know. Look,
and it's moving. But now, you know, after the initial shock and getting my head around it, you're still building content for an audience. So that the way that process has not changed. What has changed is the way that the audience receives it. So you obviously have to think about different things. You have to think about the fact that your virtual event is a live broadcast now, and having a bit of a TV background with a BBC, that was helpful. And I could think about the fact that when you're watching a TV program, you want to keep it short and sharp, and you want to think about how the content flows, and then you want to give them a little break so they can go away and make a cup of tea. So the way that they flow and the sort of format of them was in my head was quite simple to do that pivot and make that work. The tricky bit was understanding all the technology, and we were inundated, weren't we, with different platforms.
Very much,
And it was a case of navigating through. And again, it's pretty much like a live event, though. It's a case of really reading your client's brief and going, what they want is this, and then really trying to find the platform that matches what the client brief is. And that was, at first, that was the trickiest bit, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a really good point. I've seen so many people who are new to virtual, like so many people are at the moment, and they try and choose the platform and the technology before even thinking about the event.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really big challenge, because like you said, I think you need to read the brief, see what they actually require. Like, do they need face-to-face video? Do they need messaging? And then choose the platform. That's a massive challenge that people are facing right now.
It really is, because at the end of the day, you've got to remember that what your client is wanting is you know, that's what you are delivering. You know, you might have fallen in love with a certain type of platform, but if it doesn't match the client expectations, then you're both going to come away from it feeling really uneasy, and you're not going to deliver for that client. So
yeah
it's critical.
Yeah, no, exactly. And for event organizers listening, what advice would you give to them who maybe they've not pivoted to virtual yet, or they want to, but they're just nervous, they don't know where to start? What advice would you give to them?
Yeah, I think there's no hiding from it. You know, we're in 2021 and we're all hoping that 2021 will come along and then we go back to those live moments.
I know.
They will come. Not yet. But the thing is, as an events professional, the virtual is not going away, and it's going to complement alongside, and we're going to see a hybrid solution, which is going to be so impactful. You're going to be able to reach a lot more people. You're going to be able to make sure that you've got on-demand solutions for your clients or your delegates or your attendees, pre and post, and your event will live on a lot longer. So if you don't have those virtual skills at the moment as an events professional, reach out, go out there, find some experience, whether that's paid or unpaid, because you are going to need it in all these job descriptions going forward. Even me now, so if I think about Carnival and Iona, who hopefully will come in the summer, and I'm now re-recruiting my team on the job spec this year, but there is digital elements, because we are going to be doing a hybrid solution. I'm not going to be able to deliver what I wanted to deliver. We are going to have to do a broadcast out, and there is going to be a hybrid solution.
Yeah.
So you're going to need digital skills.
Absolutely. And yeah, I know I recently put out a LinkedIn post this morning, which you responded to, saying, you know, where do we think we're going to be in maybe a year's time? And I do think there will be digital elements, because people now, like I said, are getting used to the convenience. You know, if you have children, you know, you can't typically just leave the house and go to an event anymore. Like, you know, now the virtual aspect's here, you've got the option. And touching on hybrid, I think hybrid's going to be massive in the next year.
Absolutely. And as an individual, we've changed our lives. We want to be at home. We know that we can work at home a lot more now. So we know that we can attend some of these conferences and get that content virtually. Also, from a business perspective as well, businesses are going to think, well, actually, I'm not going to send somebody on an aeroplane that is not sustainable, and I'm not going to spend all that money around it when they can be at home or within the business and actually still get that experience. And so I do think there's a sustainable element that's running through there as well.
Absolutely.
There's an economical element that's running through it, and a people thing, you know, as a person, what you are going to want to experience is very different.
Yeah, no, that's really true. And I know you just touched on, you can get the same experience. How have you found attending virtual events, the experience? Have you found it the same, different? Because again, I think it's, people are kind of concerned you're not going to get the same FaceTime with the brands or the attendees.
I'm going to be really honest. It depends on the event.
I agree.
It depends on how much they've sat down and really thought about it as a planner, as an events planner, how they've sat down and thought about it. If it is literally just a send and receive, half an hour in, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. If there's no interactive elements, if there's no like going off and being able to sort of net, but depending what you want to get out of that.
Yeah, exactly. Session,
obviously. Yeah. If it's not meeting what I want as an attendee, which as a planner, again, you will know what your attendees want, or you should know, so you should be thinking about that. I think one of the ones that I really like the look at, and I've only dipped in a little bit so far, is the Mice Guru. She's just on the digital trip, and she's done a destination marketing event online. And if you think normally, if you're destination marketing, you need to go and touch and feel that destination. But she, I interviewed her actually, and Heidi talked about the fact that she led that event through the eyes of the attendee, and I think that's a really clever way of doing it. So just from the look, because she's got an on-demand solution that's going on at the moment, and I've dipped in and had a look at some of it now, so I do think that was a very clever one that she'd done.
Yeah, I know, I've heard that was amazing, and at the end that you could win a trip, which I mean, that is just, you know, a benefit within itself to attend. I think that's amazing. No, I think it's so exciting. Kelly, it's been so lovely speaking to you. We're getting to the half hour mark. I know I can ramble on. But where can people find you if they would like to find out more?
Yeah, absolutely. So I tend to be on most of socials. I'm Kelly Frew. Kelly Frew on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. And then if you want to find out more about the podcast, if you go to my website, storymakerevents.com, there's a whole tab there about the podcast, Events for Breakfast, and you'll find me there, and you can send me a little DM and things and say hi too.
Amazing. And I definitely recommend the podcast. It's just so nice. And, you know, I think it's really important to support the smaller podcasts out there, you know, compared to all the large corporations that are running podcasts at the moment. And if you're an event organizer listening and you have any questions about how to go virtual or online, then pop me a message on LinkedIn or email me at rianne@eventmindpro.com. And we do actually have another episode taking place on Friday. So we'll see you all then. Thank you for tuning in.